Good morning, Douglas. How are you today?
I am doing okay.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. You are on the air, and we're happy to hear your story today.
Okay, so when we think about a lot of times you think about the stories of coming into embodiment and agreeing where you're going to go and all that kind of stuff. And I do have the sense that I was connected to my family members before. And for whatever reason, I had just a great, great opportunity in childhood coming into embodiment. My father was actually the manager of the music department at Walt Disney Studios. And so all through the growing up, he would have, these parties with these just exceptional musicians and artists. They would come and they would just play there, do their thing. And it was just unbelievable. And we would also have at that time, what would be new movies now. He would bring home, check them out of the new cartoons, whatever it would be. And we would get to see them on a projector. So we could have those for parties, or occasionally he would just bring them home for the family. Very nice, very special. My father was always great as far as looking out for other people. Any kind of holiday dinner, whatever we had, if he knew of anybody that didn't have a place to go, whether it was Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever, and anybody knew, they would always be invited over and just be treated as part of the family. So I had a great opportunity to be nurtured and come up. As far as my introduction to any kind of spiritual religion, they were part of the First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood. It's Hollywood, California. And I kind of grew up in that. I was never really, as a little kid, totally plugged into the whole, religion, Protestant thing. I went through it, but it never really struck me, grabbed me. And I can remember at one point, I got to the point where I was somewhere in the junior high years, in a choir practice there. And I can remember these couple of brothers standing up there and them saying to everyone out there, they're saying, I know I am going to heaven. And, I looked at them and I just realized that they did not know. They didn't know at all that they were going to heaven. It was just they were trying to get themselves pumped up. And it was like from that point on, it's like I kind of lost interest in that church, because it was like it was based on just, at least for me and the people that I saw there, the people that were really kind of into it, it was based on a projection or a hope that it was correct. And for me, that just didn't do it. I can remember in junior high a discussion in, I guess it was a history class, where somehow the discussion got into India and yogis and how they could control their bodies. And I knew that there was also a philosophical, spiritual component to that, and that somehow resonated with me. I didn't do much to it at that time, but it resonated with me. So the next kind of thing that I think was significant in any kind of spiritual path here was that I was going to school actually up in Bozeman, Montana. That was the first year I went. And I remember reading a book from Carlos Castaneda, the first one in the series, called A Yaqui Way of Knowledge. It was basically his master's thesis on dealing with this Indian medicine man. And it was interesting. It was pretty academic, but it was definitely interesting for me. But the thing that actually galvanized me on a spiritual path was when I went to the next year, I ended up going to USC. And in the dorm there, I met a couple people. One guy in particular was really into these Don Juan books. He was just way into it. And the second one in the series was called A Separate Reality. And I can remember getting into that. And once I got into a certain point, it's like light bulbs went off. I resonated totally with this thing, because here was an individual. You had the knower and the seeker. Someone who wanted to find out and someone who knew. And looking back, that was just, for me, was a confirmation of some kind of past history of the guru and the chela, the knower and the seeker. It was so galvanizing to me at that point. When I read all the rest of the books, and then shortly thereafter, we got involved in TM. And, you know, I started doing the TM mantra. You get like a personal mantra, and it was, yeah, it was pretty cool. But it was like, for me, there was, it just really wasn't enough. I mean, it was a certain benefit you would get for it, but it wasn't like some kind of a path. And I can remember then going and reading different spiritual books like Ramakrishna and some of these other spiritual adepts of the East and their actual connection. And it was like, wow, there's got to be more. There's got to be more out there. And at that point, the same individual who had kind of got me into the Castaneda books went into Scientology. And he said, well, you know, wow, man, this is it. It's just like it answers all the questions. And everything is just laid out. It's like, you know, and for me, it was like, okay, well, let's check it out. And for most people who have never been into Scientology, all they see is the organizational aspects of the outside, the kind of the crazy stuff that goes on that you see in the documentaries and like Lee Remy's stuff and all that stuff. It's all true. I mean, I can vouch for it. But what they don't really address highly, or people don't really recognize, they have some very fundamental and very efficacious techniques that they use as far as understanding yourself and going into past lives and relieving stress and all kinds of other stuff. So I didn't spend a heck of a lot of time in Scientology just because of the stuff that probably most people know about, the organization and the control and all that, the stuff that is there. But I definitely retained that interest in the understanding of auditing in these past lives and how you can release stress and, you know, that can take you to higher levels. So after I'd gotten out of Scientology, I can remember living with a group of guys over in, it was Woodland Hills, that's in San Fernando Valley in Southern California. And this one guy was a film student at USC, and he just happened to bring home Saint Germain and Alchemy. Oh, he was doing a film. He was a film, so he really had no interest in any kind of spiritual stuff. But he brought home this book. And I can remember going through that book, because that's kind of what I was into at that point, just checking out all the spiritual stuff. And I can remember reading Saint Germain and Alchemy and thinking to myself, wow, man, I have no disagreements with anything in there, but you know, I'm really not getting anything out of this. But you know, about a halfway through that book, I felt compelled to go down to the Summit Lighthouse Teaching Center in Los Angeles. And so I set up an appointment to get down there. And I remember going to the front door. And between the front door, walking through the front door, I just felt a rush of energy. Crazy. So I thought, wow, man, there is something here. And then I remember going into a service and they had a recorded dictation. My first dictations, recorded anyway, were the Maha Chohan and Babaji. And Babaji was just incredibly fiery. I said, I am Babaji. Boom. And it was like, wow. I mean, it's just the experience that probably most of us has had from one way or another, either a profound dose of light or a gradual raising up into a really high etheric vibration where you just know that something is happening to you that is just different. So at that point, I wanted to, further what I was doing. And I happened to be in another roommate situation out in actually Canoga Park, close to where I am now. And this guy was into the teachings. I don't know whatever happened to him. James, I forget his last name. So he took me out to Camelot. Remember, I am brand new. Took me out to a service. And basically it was essentially a 10-hour decree service, high speed decrees. And the mother of the flame, Elizabeth, her prophet, just making calls into Skarnas, and it was just a heavy-duty decree session. And remember, I was brand new. I couldn't even think. People would share their decree works with me, and I would look at the words, and I couldn't keep up. But for me, which has kind of been the way of my spiritual evolution, was I didn't have to understand anything. You just had to deliver on your promise. In other words, if you say this is what I have to do to kind of get your secret information or your speaker or your experience or whatever it is, you know what? okay, you show me. You show me what you got. So I went back the next week, and it was the same thing. 10 hours of sitting in the all-day service, getting out like at 5 o'clock at night, just making decrees on whatever it was at the time. And I can remember Mother going, actually looking at me. And it was, looking back, it was almost like she was just checking me out, saying, you know what? Let's see what you got. Let's see how you can, you know, if you're ready for what we got. So then I went out the third week. And at that point, it was kind of like a regular service, what the regular services were at Camelot. Went through whatever it is, the regular service. And then there was a dictation by Mother Mary. Complete, total bliss. It was like, wow. It's like, you know, that was out of all the other spiritual stuff that I had done, including yoga, including Scientology or TM or all these, you know, the any kind of readings that I had. This was like, this obviously is like the essence in what ultimately you have to connect to. So from that point on, I kind of was hooked, and I think probably a lot of us have had a similar experience. Most of the people in the Heart Center have been through a lot of stuff, and the connection that you make is probably a couple of reasons, probably because the Master has seen your striving, but also because you're open. And you've clarified or opened up your communication channels to the etheric realms to a degree where you can actually sense and feel or see or whatever your way is to get the vibration. So, going on with my evolution, at a certain point I went to Cyclopaeus Quarter. Dean Anderson was actually in that quarter. And in about another year, I went to Kuan Yin's quarter. Michael Vaes was in that quarter. And after that, I didn't join staff right away, but it wasn't too long before I did. And I got into the computer services department, which is where I stayed most of the time while I was there. And interestingly enough, David Lewis was in mail processing. And, you know, everybody on staff for the most part was pretty special. Everybody in the Heart Center is pretty special. But, you know, you get to know people. And David, I always had ultimate respect for that guy because he was hardworking, he was innovative, and he had a high level of integrity. So by the time I ultimately I got out of staff and, you know, Mother was no longer a messenger, when I was on an emailing list with Carol Wells and she said that David was actually taking messages from the Masters, for me it was very natural. I think a lot of people in that situation think of, well, I was on the same level as this guy, so how come, you know, he can't have anything special? But, you know, for me, it was just so incredibly natural. It was like, yes. It was like, yeah. Because, you know, just of who he was or who he is, but who he was at the time, it was like, it was, yeah, I totally buy into it. But I wasn't really ready to fully jump into it because at that point in my life, I was not really a reader anymore. So just reading, you know, the pearls or reading the heart streams was kind of like, I knew that was kind of not going to be the thing for me. So, oh, let me digress just a little bit. Once I got off staff, I came back to Los Angeles. And that's where I got involved in the teaching center here, the Summit Lighthouse Teaching Center. And that's where I met Lizette, my beautiful wife. And it was a long time. I got out like a staff of like 94 and we didn't really start dating until like 2001 or so. And then we ultimately ended up getting married in India, a Heart Center, with David and a Hindu samurai. Very nice. So going back at this point now, it's like, the very beginning of the Heart Center. And I was totally on board with David being legitimate. I was not so much into, but I was not going to be such a reader. And even now, I'm not such a reader. I get my books on tape through Audible, you know, so I listen to those in the car going back and forth to work. But at any rate, then there is a dictation. Lizette and I are listening to a dictation of El Moria. El Moria comes through and is like, boom, yep, there it is, the light. You feel the radiation come down. And El Moria is saying, is it me? Is it me? Yeah. Yeah, it's you. And at that point, you know, I was pretty much on board.
Douglas, this is Kathleen. I'm loving your story, and I'm looking at the time, and I see our time is just about up. So is there any last word you'd like to say, any last tidbit of wisdom? I'm loving your story about how you found the Masters, et cetera. This is very fun and exciting.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it up to now. My sister has moved up to Montana now, so I'll probably be going up there a little bit more. But outside of that, that's pretty much it.
Wonderful. And could you say your full name? I forgot to ask you that in the beginning.
Full name, Douglas Allen Jackman.
Thank you, Douglas. Great to hear your story. Look forward to see you in person. Hope you get up here to Mount Shasta for our event.
Okay, God bless y'all. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.